Here's Matt.
Did I just get a cat call? Just...
Okay. My name is Matt. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hank, that was very chivalrous of you to give up your 5 minutes because I'm going to take all of mine. So, I just like hearing myself talk. So my name is Matt. I'm a compulsive overeater. October, I celebrated 10 years of abstinence. I'm down 160 pounds from my top weight. My top weight was 340 pounds. I got abstinent on this side of the hill. There are so many people here who I got abstinent with and who knew me 10 years ago when I was crazy. I'm still crazy. I just hide it a little bit better now, you know? And here's the thing, like, we're here because we got to go be with our families. We have things to do today that really don't have anything to do with the food, but the food's a big part of it. So I'm going to just shorten my story a little bit for you guys, because the fact is we're all here and we all understand each other's story. I was 340 pounds. I couldn't stop eating. I came in when I was 21. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. The weight came off. Then I realized it wasn't about the weight. Then I had to do amends. Then I had to deal with all my shit and do my life and stay abstinent. So, like, I could sit here and talk to you guys for 20 minutes about what it was like, but the thing is you guys know what it was like because you all have your own story. And the whole point of this program, one thing my sponsor said early on, he goes, abstinence is just the beginning. And the thing is, we can spend so much time in the food, and someone else said to me, we can live and die in our food plans. And early on in my abstinence, I would go to Thanksgiving, and I was so rigid about it. I'd go, just one plate, and so then I'd have a bunch of food on one plate, and I still look like a crazy person with this plate filled with food, but it was my one abstinent plate. And, like, over time, this program has taught me, like, there's a way to be, like, socially acceptable and be abstinent at the same time. Which might mean that I get a second plate. It doesn't mean that I'm not abstinent. This program has allowed me to grow in my abstinence and to wear my abstinence like a loose garment, because the whole point is, you know, I love when people are like, well, I'm Jewish and it's all about the food, or like, I'm Italian and it's all about the food. And it's like, here's the thing, it doesn't matter what your background is. Like, we culturally live in a world where food is very important. It's a communal thing, and it has a significant purpose for us in our life. And I don't think we need to negate that. For me, I just have to take responsibility for the fact that I have to be abstinent and take responsibility for how I am with my food. Because the important thing is with abstinence, step 12 talks about practicing these principles in all our affairs. That means that I get to go and I get to participate. It means that I get to be a part of these situations and I get to be of service at them. It means that, you know, when someone said to me, how do I be of service at these events? Because it's like, even if I'm worried about the food, it's like, it's never about the food. It's usually about the people that I got to go be with. So how do I be of service in those situations? If I'm going to someone's Thanksgiving and they're hosting it, their expectation is that I'm going to enjoy it, or they want me to enjoy it. So for me, the way I can be of service is to go to the event and put my focus on enjoying myself. Like, spirituality is not black and white. Spirituality for me is about showing up and being present for what's in front of me. Don't get me wrong, like, when I was new, like, staying abstinent through the holidays was a big deal. And I will never take that away from my experience or anyone else's experience. And I never thought I would have 10 years of abstinence. And the gift of having time in the program is that I get to have experiences that shift me and change me and help me have new ways of thinking about things. And, like, one thing that we talk about all the time is about, like, well, I got to go be with my crazy family. I got to go be with these crazy people. And I got to do this and I got to do that. And you know what? When I was new, I didn't go home and see my family for a good 2 years. Because I couldn't do it. I mean, I missed out on a lot of time with my family because I wasn't capable of accepting them for who they were. And I sit here and I don't know what to share or how to share it. And I can't change anyone else's experience or what they need to have. But I'm going to share with you something today that I hope will help you maybe realize something a little earlier on than I did. I would go home and I would visit my family in abstinence, and I still struggled to be around them, so I chose to not. They're all back east in Virginia. And I just, why can't they change? Why can't they understand me? Why can't they get me? Why can't they hear me? Why does my mom always focus on all my other brothers but me? And why can't they just do it the way I want them to do it? I mean, that's all typical stuff. Like, we all experience that. But as I was going through changes in my life, like, I've been through a lot in 10 years in abstinence. We all will be going through a lot of things in abstinence, because that's life. It doesn't matter whether you're in program or not. It's hard no matter what. So just stay here, stay abstinent, be angry, have your feelings, look like a fool, and don't use the food. The other year, last year, I went home between Thanksgiving and Christmas to see my family. And I intentionally went home with this idea that I want to be able to accept them. I want to be able to accept them for who they are. I've worked all these steps. I'm doing all this work. I'm in multiple programs. It's like, Jesus, like, God, I mean, you could do so many inventories and still, like, just want to kill somebody. And I went home, and I'm around my family, and I'm still struggling with this, like, what is acceptance? It's like, even you read on acceptance in the big book, you know? And for me, time and program allows me to have experiences and to see things differently and to be open to what worked for me then doesn't work for me now. Or to realize that maybe I had to have a slightly different way of looking at things in order for me to understand something. And so I'm with my family and we're doing things, and I could just feel this sense of like, why can't I'm just not okay with things with them. Like, there's something that's not working for me, and like, why can't I just accept them? And I'm like talking to my mom. I'm like, well, I just want them to change a little bit or see something a little differently, or like, just like maybe just shut up, you know, or like, or just like breathe, but don't talk. Or it's just like, and this program, as much as it is about being of service to others, it's about being of service to ourselves. And I had this shift where I was with my family and I realized it's not about me accepting them. Because what I wanted to do was to be able to be around my family without the need to push in on them. I wanted to be able to create space for them, but I didn't know how to do it. And I had it all wrong. And so I started instead to create space for myself. And I'm sitting there with my family, and I'm realizing I'm laughing. Because you know what? In OA, everyone thinks I'm this very serious guy, and I am. I take shit very seriously. And I have very important points to make. But in my life, like, I'm goofy and I laugh and I do dub smash with my phone and I'm on social media and I'm silly. And I made a point to allow myself to enjoy myself. Because I learned that I don't need them to give me what I need. And so I started joking with them. And then I had my brother doing a dub smash with me and I'm just hanging out. Because I'm sitting there with this sense of like, yo, I'm going to have a good time whether you're with me or not. So I just started being silly and being goofy. And when they take some 20 minutes for us to sit down and watch a movie, like, that was okay. Like, I could laugh at the fact that they can't just sit down. So, like, the program talks about, like, we have to put the focus back on ourselves. And so it's like, I think for me as an addict and in recovery and as someone, like, I was 340 pounds, like, I just hated myself. So it's like everything was about how do I punish myself. Even it's like, it's a, you know, put the focus back on you. So then I'm like, you're stupid. You have a character defect. You're this and you're that. And it's like, no, like, I'm pretty cool. And I don't need my family to get me. And you know what happened? They started to relax. And they started to be themselves. And we connected. I connected with them. You sit in a lot of meetings and you hear around the holidays about us having to go back to our family and all that stuff. And When I went home this past time, it was around the time where my younger brother, he was bipolar and had a lot of mental illness. And he had attempted suicide a lot growing up. And he had attempted suicide about a week before I had gone to visit. And when I went home, my parents were always saving him and always trying to fix him. And he was in and out of hospitals and all this stuff. And I went to him. And he was a recluse. He was always in his room. And I went into his room and I sat down. And I asked him something I'd never asked him before. And it's not because I'm not this spiritual person, guys. I'm just someone trying to figure this shit out as I go. Like, I'm on my own spiritual journey, just like each of you all are. And I'm grateful. The one thing that I'm grateful for is, like, I'm present enough to know that every little experience I have informs me as a human being and informs me on my spiritual journey as a human being. And I went into his room and I sat down and I was like, Andrew, I heard what happened. And I asked him, I said, what do you need? It wasn't about me. Because I realized, like, I'm over this. I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to get people to figure anything out. And I said, what do you need? And he goes, Matt, if I want to go, I want to go. And it's not right for people to keep bringing me back. Maybe they're the ones wrong if I don't want to come back and people keep bringing me back. And that was really hard to hear. And you know what? He's absolutely right. And it was the first time in my life I started to let my brother go then. Because I realized it wasn't about me. And I realized in that moment I loved him the way he needed to be loved. And I said, I love you and I hope you find out whatever you need to find out because I want you here. And 5 months ago, my brother committed suicide. And so I sit in meetings and people are upset about visiting their family because they can't control their family and they can't get their people to understand them the way they do. And, oh man, if only this and only that and the food. Oh, what am I going to eat on Thanksgiving? We're in recovery, so we don't have to think about the food, guys. So that we can do what we need to do, call our sponsor, be quiet about it, and focus on the things that are important. If you feel uncomfortable because you can't control someone you love, wait until they kill themselves and you really don't have any say over it. That's getting to sit with something. That's acceptance. And the whole point is that 10 years has taught me that it doesn't matter about my time, but with every shitty thing that happens in my life, it is an opportunity for me to practice my program, or I can practice my disease. And we see relapse a lot. And on one level, it's like I have to choose, what do I want my life to be about? I sit today with gratitude, and I sit today with pain. And I cry myself to sleep at night. But I could easily not find purpose in this. But I'm choosing to. Because why not? What other choice do I have? And you know what? This is my first Thanksgiving, knowing that he's not on the earth. And my grief goes in different ways. And as a family, like, I'm here, my family's back east, and it's just the way it is, and I'm really not sad about that. Like, that's okay. And, like, as a family, like, my parents, like, they're not going to have Thanksgiving. They're going to buy a turkey, and they're going to have some turkey sandwiches with my grandma. Boy, don't I just sound like a downer to y'all. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. But this shit's real. And our families will drive us crazy. But I'd rather have my fucked up brother back any day. So how much time do I have left? 4 minutes? So, like, I was trying to think about something real poetic before I got up here about gratitude and stuff. And here's something I thought about. There's five aspects of my life that I can be grateful for. I can see. I can see myself, and I can see you and me. And I can see me and you. I'm grateful that I can smell. Because I can smell my own bullshit. I can also smell yours. And then obviously I can smell flowers and like all that other stuff. I'm grateful that I can hear. Because I can hear my own bullshit. And I can hear yours as well. I'm grateful that I can hear because it means I get to choose what I listen to and what I don't. I'm grateful that I can taste because, you know what? It's all right to enjoy your food. It's okay. I'm grateful that I can touch. Because when there is a newcomer in the room and they feel that unlovable and that they feel that unseen and you give them a hug, that is where recovery starts. I also like sex, so I like touch a lot. I said that. What other senses are there? I know there's another one, right? Did I say, is that a five? Did I get through five? I said smell, right? Smell, earring. Is that five? Like, you know, the thing is like, I'm going to end with this, that like, life is raw and life is tough. And it's like, lean into it. And when things are rough, abstain at it. Abstain at it. I used to eat at people. And here's the thing. You can still eat at people in abstinence. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Well, I'm going to eat this absent meal, but I'm going to think about that motherfucker the whole time I'm doing it. And y'all are sitting there laughing because you're like, I do the same thing. I'm going to have a quiet day today. And then I'm going to go hang out with some friends for a couple hours. And I get to be right where I'm at. There's days where I don't meditate. There's days where I don't read my big book. And I don't read that for today. I used to think it was called Just for Today. It was like Just for Today. And that's part of my spirituality, is allowing for the ebb and flow of it. Because I believe my spirituality is fluid. And there's room for imperfection. There has to be. I'm grateful for a lot of things today. And even in my brother's loss, I'm grateful that there is purpose in it if I choose to find it. And I don't usually say this because, like, I didn't go talk to my family. I didn't go see my family for a long time when I was new in abstinence. But if you can go see your family, go see them. I didn't understand that a sibling is very much like a soulmate until you lose one. You shared the same womb with that person. I'm jealous of you guys if you have all your siblings. Just tell them you love them. And if you want to practice acceptance, accept yourself first. And be grateful for who you are. We should be at the top of our gratitude list because we're all miracles. And we all move through things. And we're all on our own hero's journey that is pretty epic and amazing. Thank you for letting me share.